Hey, recording. Hey everyone, this is Bryant. I am recording in my garage today because I wanted to explain to you why we sing the song Open Up the Heavens by Vertical Worship at our church on Sunday morning. You know, this song is one of those ones that can seem a little artsy, but we stand by it. We believe the theology is sound. It's hard sometimes to find upbeat worship songs to start off the worship set because, you know, as much coffee as we drink, we still need that energetic song to really kick off the morning and get us into the right space, get us standing, get our blood pumping a little bit, get our hearts in the right place. And this song is one of those ones that's great to kick it off. So I'm going to jump right into it. Looking at verse 1. We've waited for this day. We've gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. Okay, here's why that is true. We're going to look at Mark first. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 verse 15 says this. This is Jesus speaking. These are red letters. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So that's the kingdom is near. Now, if you ask people what is the number one thing that Jesus spoke about, oftentimes you'll hear love. That's what I said when I was asked that question. You'll hear salvation, you'll hear God, you'll hear all these different things. But what Jesus really spoke about the most was the kingdom of God. Jesus was a kingdom caller, and we are a kingdom caller to this day. That's what we're supposed to be. The kingdom of God is here. It's in our midst. We have the Holy Spirit's within us. Not the Holy Spirit's. We have the one Holy Spirit from God within us. And we live in this expectation that the kingdom of God is coming. And what that's going to look like in its most fulfilled form is the resurrection. When we live in the new heaven and the new earth, and everything is the way that God originally created it to be before sin destroyed it, and we get to live in physical communion with God once again. So what's happening now in this time, every time there's a salvation, every time there's a healing, every time the presence of the Spirit is adamant in any moment, that is a look into the future reality of the kingdom of God coming. Now, what this also means is that the church is the most perfect example of the kingdom of God in our lives today. We go to church not because it's a cool building or because the program's important or any of that stuff. We go to the church because we are a part of the kingdom of God, and we need to gather with the church, the capital C church, on a grander scale. We need to be kingdom-minded. And so in that, we understand that the kingdom of God being near is a very important concept, and this song shouts it out. That's why it's great to start off the worship set. Boom, the kingdom of God is near. The next thing I want to look at is Jeremiah 23. So going back to the Old Testament, this is a prophetic. This is written by the prophet Jeremiah. This is a prophetic book of the Bible, 23:24. Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord. So what we're looking at right there, that is God's omnipresence. All-encompassing, omnipresent, always everywhere, all the time. There's not a place where God is not. God's presence. So when we sing this song, we're calling out that omnipresence of God from many places in Scripture, but from Jeremiah 23:24, the presence of God is here. And he's always here, but we can set our minds on him. And when we gather in these worship spaces and we sing Open Up the Heavens, we're pointing our mind toward the fact that, oh yeah, God's presence is here. All the crap I did this week, all the stressful things, the work, the time I yelled at my wife, all that stuff out the window. God's presence is here. He was with me in those moments, but maybe I just didn't have the eyes to see him. So now we're pointing our attention that the kingdom of God is near. The presence of God is here. Next, looking. Okay, what does that mean that the presence of God is here? That has implications. It's pretty important. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Says this, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. I love that. But what we're really looking at there is the fact that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Vitally important. Vitally important to understand. What used to be before Jesus's time, the temple was the place where God's presence was. And anyone who went into that presence of God incorrectly fell over dead. They had to be drug out with a rope. Well, no, they'd tie a rope around the waist of the guy who went to go get the dead body. And then that way, if he fell over dead, they could drag him out with the rope. This concept of the fact that no impurity, no unholiness can exist in the presence of our most holy God. God's presence has this huge, heavy implication that he is powerful and he is there. He's not a God that just created and then went away, but he speaks to us, he knows us, he loves us, and his presence is within us. We are the temple. When we gather as believers, it is the manifestation of the temple. And that's where we get to the next spot. The next thing I want to bring up from this verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 3, my favorite chapter of the Bible, honestly. I mean, Revelation chapter 25 is kind of hard to beat, but Acts chapter 2, verse 3, check it out. So this is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit first fell on the people of God, the moment that began the church, as we talked about in the last week's Song Dissect, your church. So look in here, Acts 2, verse 3, and it says they were there, they were praying the day of Pentecost, and suddenly there was a sound of heaven. Then verse 3, I'll read verse 2. Suddenly a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And rested. There's a little footnote though on the word rested. That means, or, and tongues of fire appeared to them, distributed among them. So it's just a distributed among them. It still says it rested on them. Okay. That's the moment when the church was first filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we remember when we gather together, we still have that anointing. We still have that presence, and the Holy Spirit still moves and acts today in many, many ways. And so when we come together, it says, your glory like a fire, awakening desire, burn our hearts with truth. That's a very poetic way to say that your glory, your presence is on us like a fire. It awakens our desire for you, for the kingdom of God, for the presence of God, that we are the temple, and it burns our hearts with truth. Because ultimately, God is the only source of truth, and we have so blessed to have scripture to turn to learn about these things. Let's move on to the pre-chorus. It sings this a couple times. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Okay, that might seem weird. I want to explain this. Why do we sing songs about singing? What is the point of that? Those of you who are listening to this, if you're listening to this, and prefer to worship with hymns only, seem to really point to lines like this and claim that modern worship is too focused on the person singing rather than the God they're singing about. This argument, though, it's quickly invalidated when you open up any hymnal from any tradition and realize that so many of the old hymns also use this type of I, me, we, or our language. So referring to yourself, referring to the congregation, that's because our experience with God is inescapably connected to our testimony and point of view. The way that we know God, the way that we experience him, is our point of view of what we know about him. It is our testimony of how he has worked in our lives. That is why we sing songs like this, because it's just how you communicate about your experience in your life with God. So this line here, you're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. Why would we sing about singing? Because singing is our response of joy to what he has done in our lives and what he is doing. So there's a gamut. I'm going to give some worship vision here. There's a gamut of worship songs that approach God from a whole bunch of different perspectives. And surely God is still worthy of all praise, worship, and adoration, even if we had no relationship or history with him. So for the agnostics out there who say, yeah, there's a God, but there's no way to know him. Well, even if he just simply existed and there was no way to know him, he'd still be worthy of our praise because he'd be the most almighty thing in the universe. Nothing else in our lives or in the world could possibly have any kind of worth of being lifted up or praised. So anytime like you're saying something is really good and you're putting so much value in this thing or that thing, or you're talking about how beautiful the earth is, or you're talking about how good this band is, or whatever it might be, God is worthy of all praise and worship and adoration beyond anything that's ever been created just by simply him existing. So let's get out of that idea that if we had no relationship or history with him, we would still need to worship him. On his own, he is holy and all-powerful and good to be praised. But we also worship God for what he has done. What he has done. What has he done? He saved us. He sent his son to die for us. He filled us with his presence. He marked us with his presence for eternity. So we'll never have to be without his presence again. Once you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you have God's presence, you'll never have to be without that presence again. So we use I, me, we, our, us. We use all those kind of words when we sing our praises to God to not only communicate praise for who he is, but what he has done in our lives. This creates different directions. Getting back into that worship vision, this creates different directions of worship songs. The concept within hymn or songwriting is often described as vertical versus horizontal worship. So think about that. Wrap your mind around it. The vertical songs are the ones that are directed up and down. Vertical means up and down, for those who don't know that. Straight to God, singing about his attributes to him, giving him praise directly for who he is. Prayers of gratitude. These songs sometimes contain I, me, we language, but most often it's going to be you language. It's going to say Jesus. It's going to say, you know, it's going to be speaking directly to God. Then the horizontal songs are blessings that are sung out over the congregation. So like the Your Church song that we covered last week, the horizontal songs were speaking truths and blessing over each other for edification and to bless God. So between those two directions, I've noticed another one that this is just kind of my own thing, but I like to call it 45 degrees. So about halfway between horizontal and vertical, there's this testimonial type worship where we're not necessarily singing out over the people, but we are singing about what God has done within the people, and we are also singing directly to God, but we're not really singing about God and who he is. So it's sort of this testimonial, like, this is what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. So it is more vertical than horizontal, but it still has a horizontal effect. So remember that as we talk about, that's language I'm going to be using in the future of this podcast series when I talk about worship songs, is whether one is horizontal or whether it's vertical. You know, worship songs and hymns can be very meta sometimes. And this line of open up the heavens we've been talking about, which is, you know, you're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing, the you're the reason we're singing is pretty meta. It's you know, we're singing about singing. It's kind of an example of that 45 degree worship where we're singing directly to God about why we, the church, are in this moment together. So let's look at the chorus. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. This song is very focused on the Holy Spirit and how we practice the presence of God corporately together. That's what corporately means. When we say corporate worship, we're not talking about a business in suits. Corporate worship is anytime you're worshiping together with other people. This song is a lot about how we practice the presence of God corporately, and we're able to do that through the existence of the Holy Spirit in us. That's like what this song is about. Like we talked about earlier, He is always present in our lives. But there are times when you're not really focused on Him, intentionally or not, we get distracted. I have some hope for you. As you mature in your faith, it becomes harder and harder to forget about His presence in your heart. But all of us need these times of intentionally calling on and recentering on His presence, young and old. In that way, this song is very horizontal. We, like I said earlier, we use it a lot to kick off a set, get us into the mind space, and begin asking for the presence of God in our midst. That's not because we think God's presence wasn't already there, but because we need to refocus our minds and realign our hearts to His presence. The song is very vertical, though, in that we're singing directly to God and calling on Him. I'd say this is a 45-degree song. What are the implications of that? What does it mean that we're singing for the presence of the Holy Spirit? We're asking for it. We're praying for it. We're expecting it. That should change the way that we worship. If you're someone who doesn't really know how to engage, and you like to stand there, just kind of observe, this is your invitation to dive in a new way, a new season. There's something so freeing about lifting your hands. What that symbolizes is you are surrendering. You're letting go of your pride. You're letting go of your attitude. You're letting go of your hardships. You're letting go of whatever it is you have to let go of. You're just opening up your hands to the Lord as you sing these things, and you're asking, Holy Spirit, come here. Look at the verse. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face. We're looking toward the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. This is a contrast. Your presence in this place, boom. Now, what was it like in the Old Testament? Before Jesus was here, before the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church? Well, this verse here of the song, this verse of the song, uses a lot of the imagery from Scripture that is seen in the manifestations of God's presence. For example, when Moses would go up to Mount Sinai to commune with God and receive the Torah, and then the Ten Commandments, he would return to the Israelites with a face so bright they couldn't even look at him. So that's where that line of your glory on our face, that's what that's kind of harking back to. Now look at during that time also when the Israelites were traveling through the desert, they were guided by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of smoke during the day. And this imagery continues into the New Testament even today, where strong moments of the Holy Spirit's presence are accompanied by a mist or a cloud. And also we learn that the Holy Spirit is like a cloud. His presence is felt. You can stand in it, you can feel it, you can breathe it in and out. It's a little thicker, but you can also walk through it and move in it. His presence, when it's there, it covers every single part of us and fills us. His presence is in this place. In all places and in all situations, you carry it with you everywhere you go. In the atmosphere of a worship service, that's just another way for us to see His presence. We ask Him to unveil our eyes so that we can be aware and see His presence in us, His living temple. You know, this makes me think of the term Shekinah, and that was used in ancient Judaism to explain the settling on of the presence of God in a special way. So you look at that, especially read the book of Judges, it talks a lot about how the judges, the Holy Spirit would come on them in order to complete something. Like Samson, the Holy Spirit fell on him, he did all these military victories and all this stuff, you know. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit was in him, it talks about Shekinah. In worship, we carry on this practice of Shekinah because we expect that God will be sensed in a special way in those. That's what we truly believe that. That it's different than other moments in our lives, even though it's no different. God's presence is with us in any time. But there's this special Shekinah moment of corporate worship where we are more expectant of what God is going to do and how we're going to sense Him and how He's going to work in our hearts. All right, finally, we're just going to wrap this up looking at the bridge. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. And so this bridge, normally the bridge, in my opinion, is the best part of any song because it's really what gets down to brass tacks on what it is we're asking for, what it is we're doing. The bridge of the song wraps up with a plea to God that he would continually and ever deeper show us his glory and power. This is going back to that Shekinah. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in his name, Shekinah. So once again, this is great history to be aware of. This is in reference to an old Hebrew saying that where two or more are gathered to read the Torah, Shekinah. So Jesus is putting himself at even more authority and power than any person that's ever existed. He's saying that he is just as respected and powerful and should be just as sought out as the old holy book. So that's why we ask for his glory, power, and presence to exist in our midst. And we know that when we gather together as a church, his very real presence is there. How could you ever want to miss out on gathering with the believers, knowing that that's the place where you can count on experiencing the Shekinah of God in a powerful way? Amen. Thank you. I hope that you guys are more confident when we sing this song. I hope that you will begin to learn to really engage with worship in a way like you never have before, and to experience the life change that comes with encountering the Holy of Holies, the Almighty God, the Ancient of Days. We get to encounter him every day in our lives, but we get to be trained up and we get to experience a special Shekinah moment in worship on Sunday mornings. So thank you. Hope to see you there. Have a good day.